So, currently right now, I am in Dubai. I live in Miami, Florida, which is about a 15-hour plane ride away. And I've been in Dubai for maybe about 2 days now. And I've kind of already made up my mind, made it my decision, that once my lease is up in Miami in June or July of 2024, I'm going to come out to Dubai and live out here. I thought I was going to come out here like a little bit later on. I thought I was going to stay in Miami for a little while. But understanding where I want to be at, the environment I want to be in, Dubai is exactly everything that I'm looking for. And it's just a much better community of people, a much better society overall in terms of like everything's so clean and upkept and everybody has a lot of respect for everybody. And just overall, you can sense a very different vibe. Now, I'm not going to make this whole podcast or this daily thought for those who are in the Elevate Mentorship Program based on just, you know, why I'm going to move to Dubai, because I don't think that would be very interesting. But I wanted to bring some type of value to you. And I really want to make this around my flight, actually. So if you follow me on Instagram, of course, you probably do know and should have seen. I flew first class for the very first time in my life from Miami to Dubai. And even then, like, flying first class, I was a little hesitant. And I was like, oh, my God, it's a lot of money to spend overall. But I'm all about going in and getting new experiences, getting new tastes on my palate overall, experiencing things that I want to make my new norm. And there's a couple things that really stood out to me. And I made this on, like, an Instagram post, and I was like, you know what, maybe I should kind of, like, explain my points a little bit more in depth and articulate them a little better for you, and just kind of my experience overall and why, kind of like tie this back into business, why you should not be comfortable at all right now, why you should not even think for a quick second that you've made it or that you can just coast where you're at right now. Because I'm always reminded everything that I do, like, and excuse if I sniffle a lot and like I have a lot of congestion. It's like a post-flight flu type thing. I just have a lot of congestion overall, so kind of like dealing with that. But I'm always trying to get myself in new experiences, and I'm always trying to get myself into different atmospheres or higher levels of like where I feel like, damn, am I even worthy of this overall, right? And that's kind of crazy to think, like, damn, and that was a thought that even went into my head when I walked into like the private lounge for the first class flights, right? I'm like, damn. First of all, I had no clue that these lounges even existed, number one. Number two, I was like, damn, am I even worthy of this? Like, I completely stand out. Now, to give you some background, when you buy a first class ticket, it comes with a lot of perks. And one of those perks is that you don't have to sit with everybody else waiting for your flight in, like, the regular airport area. Like, they have a private lounge, and the private lounge is very far away from everybody else. Like, in terms of like, you go into like this doorway, at least the one I was on, it takes you to a different floor in the airport, and then you have to walk a good like maybe 3 to 5 minute walk like to get to this, like, very separated from everything else. Like, they make it very exclusive, right? Which I was kind of like, wow, this is crazy. And then you have to also check in at the front desk with the concierge to make sure that you actually have like first class, obviously, if somehow you got past all that. And then you get into the actual lounge, and the actual lounge is nothing like an airport whatsoever. It has like a full-on buffet, all you can eat. It has people who are in there that can service you, or if you just want to get up and grab your food yourself, you can do that as well too. People are always, like, they're always refilling the bars with everything you can get. There's a full-on bar in there as well too. And this is all besides the point. Like, when I walked in there, a very profound feeling struck me that I haven't felt in a while, which was, wow, I don't know if I belong in here. Like, I don't know, like, this is like, I don't look like anybody here. And like, meaning like, I mean, I'm 29, so I'm not like a young fuck in there, right? But I'm a little bit rough around the edges. I wear jewelry, chains, I have piercings and tattoos. And everybody in there is more of like oil money, daddy money's type of like vibe, right? And so again, too, I walk in there and everybody, like, you can, like, you obviously know when people, like, start staring at you and start looking at you. It could have just been, like, again, too, me being in my head and you kind of like, oh my God, this is like, you know, kind of like making the whole thing seem like more unreal or more drawn out than what it really is. But in reality, maybe nobody's looking at me, but this is about just my experience of the world, right? And I just looked around like, man, nobody looks like me whatsoever. Nobody has piercings. Nobody has tattoos. And everybody looks like, again, too, like they come from oil money, daddy's money. And I did not see one fucking like Gucci tracksuit in there whatsoever, right? Like, and they were like, what was funny is like these were people that I saw checking in through TSA with me. That I would not have guessed that they were even like had first class people money whatsoever, because they just didn't look the part. And I was like, wow, this is like amazing. But then when I kind of like looked there, how they carry themselves, and I was like, it made a lot of sense. But what struck me out was like, this was my first time experience. And I'm like, oh my, like it probably like looked like, you know, like definitely like somebody's doing it for the first time. Like I'm looking at everything, like, oh my God, can I sit here? Can I do this? What, like, and everybody's kind of going about it like it's their typical norm when they travel. And I just had the epiphany of, like, holy fuck, this is probably everybody's normal. Like, this is my first time, and, like, sometimes, like, for people, it's, like, a once-in-a-lifetime thing. Like, I don't plan on making it that, like, one and done. I plan on making that my everyday travel type aspect if I continue to push my business forward. But I just realized, like, all these people, this is, like, their norm. This is how they live their life. This is nothing different than just, like, you know, you going out and grabbing the mail out in front of, like, your house every single day. Like, this is just that, like what they do when they travel, and like it's nothing special to them. And I think when you don't hold something too special or put something on a pedestal, like when you put something on a pedestal, you take power away from yourself, saying this thing's greater than you, right? And I think it's a bad thing to go ahead and have a bad mental approach to anything in life whatsoever, like, because nothing is, like, for each and every single one of us, even myself, nothing is above me. Right? Nothing is out of my reach. Everything is attainable to me as long as I put in the work and develop myself into the person that's deserving of that thing. So I had to really check myself in that moment of like, okay, hold on. This is not like something where, you know, I'm an outsider. I'm not worthy of this. Like, I am. It's just my first time experience. Like, let's kind of regulate. And I'm saying this too because like I like probably a lot of you go through these experiences regardless, and it's probably – I've gone through every experience of like going to a fancy restaurant or going to, again, to like buying certain clothes and feeling out of place, or shopping at certain places for the first time, feeling very out of place. And this is just like my experience now, because like those things I'm kind of used to. But now I'm like getting like at least an experience that I have, I can relate to maybe you a little bit on, and empathize with that, and kind of like how I go through that and kind of how I think about it, right? And hopefully, like, into when you come to these situations, it doesn't deter you away from like wanting to push your business, but it motivates you, because that's what I felt. I felt very motivated overall. I felt very, like, man, I have to make this my norm. Like, I just got a taste of this. I can't go back, right? I always think about, like, anytime, like, you know, it's just like sex. It's just a weird analogy, but, it, like, everybody understands, because unless you're a virgin, you've had sex before, right? And, you know, I think of it just like sex, where, like, when you get a taste of something, you know, like, when you first lost your virginity, like, that was it. Like, sex became a high priority for you a lot of the time, right? For the rest of your life, it's going to be a high priority. You want to have sex. And I think of the same thing of, like, if we take an aspect of things like this, where it's like, I get a taste of this, right? Maybe I can't afford it all the time right now, but I get a taste of it to give me an idea of, like, okay, when things get hard, when I get tired, when I get, like, down on myself, or quote-unquote, like, things, again, to my back's against the wall in business, or, again, to it just gets hard, and, you know, you get in the, like, bad mental state. Let me reframe this as like why I'm doing what I want to do, because I want to make this my norm. I want to have this. I deserve this, right? And like that fear of like loss is like is a very motivating factor for all of us. I'll give another example of like the fear of loss and why that's so motivating, right? I think it was like I remember reading a book, right? Or maybe it was like hearing somebody talk about they read a book, something. It was in a book somewhere. I don't know what book it was, but basically what this was saying is like, you know, at a car sales place, like car dealership, there was like a manager like tested this out with like two different staffs or whatever it may be, right? Like I think with one staff, he said, okay, cool. If you hit this amount of sales in a month, I'll give you a free, I don't know, Ferrari or Corvette. We're like a very high price car. I will give this to you at no cost, right? And then there he gave another set of people that gave them the Ferrari or gave them the Corvette right when they fucking signed on and became salespeople, said, if you go below this quota, which was again to the same quota that other salespeople had to hit in order to receive the fucking vehicle. If you go below this, and let's just say it's like 100 sales in a month, just hypothetically, right? If you go below 100 sales in a month, I'm taking this away from you, right? You are losing this car that I just gave to you for free. But if you hit 100 or above, you get to keep the car. No, you're not going to lose it, right? And what happened was is that, like, I don't think one person like even reached the quota of like the first group of like they had to hit the 100 quota to go ahead and get the car. But every single person who was like had the potential to lose the car went ahead and hit their quota. And if they didn't hit it one month, they went ahead and hit it the next month. Because again, humans, we're designed, we don't want to lose things. Once we have it, it's like a norm. Like, you don't want to lose the fact that you have hot running water, right? You want to keep that luxury. Like, once you get hot running water, like, you can't go back to showering in a cold shower. You're like, fuck that. That's terrible. And I think the same thing when I go into an aspect like this, like, again, flying a private flight. Like, I was like, man. You know what's even funny is that I got first class. I'm sorry. Not flight private. I flew first class. Very big difference, right? But I actually booked the flight at first to fly first class on the way to Dubai and then business class on the way back because I was like, ah, man, maybe I'll save some money. And then halfway through, I'm like, when I booked it, I booked it that way too, by chance, right? And this is to also say, like, I still come up against, like, these, like, feelings myself, like, oh, man, maybe I shouldn't, like, spend this. And I was booked, I'm like, man, that was such, like, that's such a fucking, like, lack of mindset, right? A very lack, it's not really abundance mindset and, like, understanding the opportunity that I can get from this experience. And it took me a couple days, but I actually went back and then I purchased it. It cost me more money to purchase the upgrade than what it would have to just purchase the first class flight the first time. But I was like, I don't care. Like, I need to have this experience the whole time. And I'm glad I did. Because, like, I probably would have, like, again, too, if I had experienced that, like, on the way here, I would probably have been like, man, fuck this. I'm buying the fucking first class on the way back as well, too. So I go through these like, oh man, kind of like, I am very action taking, but sometimes I do hit these spurts, but I understand. Okay, cool. Where did I fuck up at? Let me like reverse this engine, like go with the correct approach or the approach I get into that's going to yield me the best returns in a sense for this actually get me the, experience that I'm going to go ahead and utilize as the driving force to push me forward to the next level. So number one, super elongated, but like this is everybody's norm, but even though it's my first time, but I can also make it my norm. Number two, that I really realized was there was no barrier for entry. Yes, there were people at the front doors and like there was a receptionist that would check you in, but there was nobody telling me I couldn't go in. All that was the only thing that was required of me to gain access to that was to give a certain amount of money to the airline, and they're like, cool, you're in. There was no barrier for entry except that. And the only barrier for entry of giving that money to them is not the fact, like, I think that people have the wrong mindset. Oh my God, that's so expensive. Oh my God, this is so crazy. It's like, it's crazy that you don't have that type of money to actually give to that person to get that experience. Like, to me, it's like, it's crazy that, like, I haven't had the money up to this point to go ahead and invest into a first-class flight to actually gain access to that. How dare I, right? Like, man, like I almost look at myself like, dude, like, you've been off your shit. Like, step the fuck up. Now, here's, like, a side story to this that is a little bit similar. We have one of our private clients that we work with in the Elevate Mentorship Program. And he brought this up on a Q&A call, and it just dawned on me. I'm like, it's a similar story. But he was talking about him and his wife, or him and his girl, were going out couch shopping, right? I think it was Tyreek, actually. If I'm not mistaken. If it's not Tyreek, I don't mean to put this on Tyreek. It might have been somebody else. But they were going out couch shopping, right? I don't think it was Tyreek. It might have been Armando. I totally forgot. It's going to bother me now. But anyways, they were going out couch shopping, and they looked at a couch that they liked. Like, they were looking at a couch and like, man, $5,000, $7K, and their first initial reaction is, man, this is a fuck ton of money. Like, and they just kind of, they didn't even look at those couches. They found a couch they liked, and it was $2,000. And even then, they were kind of like, oh, man, $2,000, that's like a lot of money. And he, but he told me in that moment, he had like a very good mental shift. Because prior, all of his purchases, he always used to blame, man, why is this all so expensive? Man, why are they charging out the ass? Blaming, pointing the finger of like why things are expensive. Why aren't they making this more affordable? When the finger should have been pointed back at him, and he said this himself, he said, in that moment, I switched from pointing the finger at everybody else to pointing the finger at myself. Because how dare I run a business and not have enough money to be able to comfortably buy this couch that we want, or even the couch that we actually want that's a little more expensive? How dare I be that poor of a business owner? And I think when we take ownership like that, that is so vital. So, again, there's nothing stopping even you going in and flying a first-class flight, except the fact that you have been a piss-poor business owner up to this point and now have put, and haven't put yourself in the position to be able to get that effortlessly and with ease, right? Because all it takes for you to do is lock in, do the work that's necessary, build the business the way you know you should, and you can easily have that thing. I think it's very liberating overall, because I think a lot of times, especially when we start as young entrepreneurs, we're always pointing the finger like, oh, why is that so expensive? Oh, why this person is so greedy? But it's like, you're just not the person you're actually the person to blame here, not the other individual, right? You're the one to blame. You're the one who's not doing the work. You're the one who's taking days off. You're the one who's going ahead and scrolling on social media when instead you should be working. You're the one who's going ahead and taking days off instead of going ahead and being focused and locked in every second of the day. You're the one who's, again, too, going out and drinking, wasting time smoking weed, scrolling on social media, watching porn when you should be working on the business, investing yourself. You're the one that's wasting money on low-level activities when you should be saving that money for the investments that will push you and your business forward. So, if anything, I should be pissed. I'm the one to blame for why it took me to age 29 to at least fly first class for the first time in my life. That's on me. So those are the first 2 points. The third point, I'm drawing a blank. I'm not gonna lie. I had the thing on my notes, and obviously I had the thing on my the notes on my phone of this, and obviously the phone is recording this. But I knew that I know the other one was like the snacks. They also like, it was pretty cool. Like, you could basically order anything off the menu and like customize anything to like that you wanted. And you can even like, again, to order anything, like prior that they didn't have on menu, and actually have the chef on the flyer, or the attendants cook it up for you right then and there as well too, which I thought was pretty cool. Another really cool thing is, I mean, everybody understands that there was a bed, and that was probably, again, too, it was a 14, 15 hour flight, probably about 10, 12 hours. I was sleeping the whole time, just reclined the whole thing back and sleeping. I was like, man, this is so much better than like sitting in a seat and trying to like, crank your neck up. 'Cause I'm just like fully extended. It was very, very interesting and like very relaxing overall. I'm kind of drawing a blank on the third point. Maybe if I, again, too, once I check my notes, I'll make another recording on the third point overall. But that's been my experience of flying first class. And my intention now is like, I have to make this my fucking norm. I just have to. Like, I can't go back living like the business or the economy life for the rest of my life now that I've experienced this. And again, too, it's like that story with the salespeople. I've experienced this, and now I'm going to lose it, and now I'm going to work as hard as hell to make sure I don't lose this, or I don't lose it forever, and I keep this thing, right? So I think I even lost track of even telling that story. But again, too, like, overall, moral of that story is like, we're more motivated to do the things that are hard for us to do if the result is losing something than to gain something, right? So always be aware of like what's driving you for a loss, and not make sure you don't lose this thing versus like what do you gain? Because I think we'll never, and it's something I've always believed in too, we'll never go ahead and become our wildest dreams and aspirations, but our lowest standards, right? Like, you never want to dip below your lowest standard of how you want to live your life. You'll never dip below your lowest standard of hygiene, upkeep level of, like, your income. Like, we all have a certain amount of income in the bank that we'll never dip below, whether it be some people have a number in the bank account that they won't dip below that's, like, $100. Some people, they will not dip below 50K. I have a mentor that will, like, get nervous if he saw his bank account dip below anywhere between any number below 20 million, right? And I'm like, that's a different type of abundance. So again, we're never our highest goals and aspirations, but are always our lowest standards. So should always be bringing up our lowest standards to then raise our overall quality of life. So with that, hopefully you guys took away some value from this. Let me know in the comments if you did. And other than that, I'll see you in the next one.